Hello, everybody. Happy Tuesday. I hope you had a good, restful extra day off, or perhaps you worked yesterday, and that's cool too. I did something that I don't do, which is I like laid flat on my couch for about 3 hours yesterday. It was very restorative and so funny to me, the process of allowing myself to do that. Like, have you ever just said, I'm going to take an afternoon off and I'm literally going to do nothing? It's just such a shift in your brain to allow you to do that. So excited for the new format that we're doing with our check-in calls. We're going to start similar to what we had last week. So I'd like you to reflect on where you're at right now. You've invested your time and your money and your energy and your effort and your attention to this program. And if you want the most out of it, take a little moment, reflect. Where am I in this program? Where am I with the growth that I want to see for myself? And a one is I'm doing great. I'm motivated. I'm in momentum. Two is okay, a little bit of sluggishness, or there's something here, but I'm feeling pretty good. I'm still moving. And three is a place of feeling stuck or confused or annoyed or concerned. It can be pretty much any emotion that has you in a place of stillness. So go ahead and pop that in the chat. Thank you for those who have started. Got quite a bit of twos, a couple ones. Awesome. All right. Energized, Anya. Lots of twos, lots of ones. 2.5, Todd. Didn't quite want to commit to the three or the two. Love that. All right. And if you're just joining us, what we're doing is we're taking a moment to reflect. You're almost 2 full months into the Limitless program. Where are you at? One. Feeling lots of momentum. Two, a little bit of a slowdown, but still feel pretty good about it. Three is you'd like some support. Maybe you feel stuck. Maybe you feel confused. Maybe you feel angry, annoyed, any type of emotion that comes up. Concerned. All right. So, two-ish. Marianne, would you say two-ish towards one or two-ish towards three? All right. So for Marianne, if you don't mind coming off mute and just sharing where you're at. And just, I don't know how familiar you are with mindset calls. Maybe this is your first official designated mindset call where it's open-ended. For your consideration, if there is something that you felt stuck on last week and you came to the other office hours where they talked about practice management, if you're still feeling stuck, use that same prompt and bring it to the mindset call. Because oftentimes it's not just the how. Maybe once we get clear on the how, there's still that underlying piece. So, yes, Marianne, where are you?
I'm right here. Got the
All
audio
right.
on.
So what makes it a three today?
I'm making progress, and I want to say that right up front. I do know I'm making progress, and I'm excited about that, and I'm finding a lot of clarity. And I think that the reason I'm a little stuck-ish is that I guess I'm accustomed to sitting on my side of the desk instead of the client's side of the desk, and I'm not a big touchy-feely person in the first place, and so I'm just trying to be open-minded and have conversations with people when we go into the chat rooms and all, but it's not my warm and fuzzy place, and so that's just new to me, and I can deliver it to the clients. I just am not good on the receiving end of it. And so, and like everybody, hey, life is really busy right now. And so that's what has me in this position. But I am making progress. I do like to see the good steps that are moving forward right now.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your transparency. I have it that many of us experience that when we're in this space, because it is transparency. It's being like, hey, this is the stuff that's not working for me, and it's a place of vulnerability. So we can definitely touch on that. For who else said two-ish? I'm gonna jump around and kind of get a round robin to see what the themes are, and then we'll jump in. Todd, Mr. 2.5. Can you come off mute and share a little bit with me?
I can, and I'm sorry, guys. I'm in the middle of a construction zone, which is why I'm muting right now. Yeah, same thing. I'm the son of a military family, so I've always been very good at processes and procedures and staying to it. And I know there's something here that I need to do to push myself a little bit farther. I'm just having a hard time kind of putting the finger on it because when you're in the military and they beat it into your head that this is the way that we do it. Don't ask any questions. For the last 40 plus years, that's kind of the mentality that I've had is do it the way it's been done and don't ask questions. So now here we are, ask questions about everything and turn everything on its head. So it's just taken a little bit longer to get it on paper from my head. Like I can see the value. I can hear other people saying they're having this awesome success, which is great, but I kind of feel like I have a good grip on my business already. And when you combine that with not asking questions and don't push back, you get kind of stuck. So that's where I am.
And when you feel stuck, what is the thing that you're trying to surface?
So it's what's not working.
What's not working?
What's not working, and that's if you're comfortable with where you are and everything's working just fine, then why do we need to make the change? And obviously the answer is because there's a heck of a lot more out there that you could be exposed to. But when it's comfortable, then why make it uncomfortable? So it's that age-old problem that we've all probably had 1,000 times in our careers.
Got it. And as you hear yourself say that, do you have a hunch what's not working for you in your practice?
No, I'm big on time efficiency. And I know there's probably ways that I could be working more efficient in terms of client management, in terms of all the stuff that we have to do on a daily basis. So again, I know it's out there. It's just a matter of putting it all together. And like Marianne said before me, it's not the warm and fuzzy side is I'm very warm and fuzzy towards everyone else, or at least I try to be. Inside, it's just a little bit different. So,
Yeah. All right. Thank you for sharing that, Todd.
yep, I'm gonna go on mute. So, you're off to your hammers and chainsaws.
Okay, and Rashani.
I put three there, so we can ask any question, right? That's, or is it? Okay. All right. So I'm thinking of increasing my fees this year. And it's going to be some of my first clients, the clients that that signed with me like when I first started. And I'm thinking of increasing their fees like a double. So it's going to be 100% increase. And I'm just a little like concerned about how it's going to be received. So that's my concern. And how do I explain this to them? And what they will think of me? And what if they leave? Which would be pretty catastrophic for me, I think, because it's they've been such a great clients. But even if they don't leave, but they just like change their opinion about me a little bit. That would also not be so great because they've always been such big appreciators of me, and they've talked about me to their friends. I've gotten one referral from them, one successful referral from them. So those are some of my concerns, and I have thought about many times about how I'm going to bring this up with them, about all the reasons, inflation, of course, and I hired some employees this year, so that has increased the cost, and just my cost itself has gone up like 3 or 4 times since I started. So those are all good reasons, but when I think of doubling the fees, like when I put myself in their shoes and think, oh, she's doubling the fees, like what the hell? And they're gonna start asking like what is she even doing for us that warrants that kind of fee increase? Those are the questions I'm kind of struggling with. And I think it goes back to the mindset a lot. And I love the mindset, actually. I'm using it for so many other areas of my life as well. The mindset and the success shifter and all of those, I've been using it. So those are all good, but I still have not been able to get over that hump of being comfortable going to them with this ask.
Okay. Cool. Thank you for sharing that, Shani. Anybody else want to jump in with a Laura two-ish? Is that more towards the three or the one?
No, towards a three. So
Okay.
I'll jump in. Yeah, mine is a, I think, slightly similar to Roshani, although different. And I've gone one extreme to the other. Last week, I went through and figured out all my costs, which was super empowering and understanding. Okay, this is the minimum client size I need, which I've avoided doing for years. So I was very happy on that. But then the next part of it was I figured out how many clients I have and if I wanted to do those surge meetings, how much time it would take. And I have way too many small clients. And I know that, but I'm scared to get rid of them. And many of them I've known for years. Some are like friends or family. And it's like, I know logically, like I'd lose money on them. Like, Stephanie's things, like my big clients are paying for them, but it's scary. And I don't really know how to change that. So that's why I feel kind of overwhelmed and it's like freaked out.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. When you say scary, what do you think might happen?
Don't know. It's like logically, what? I don't know. It feels like I'm, even though I'm rejecting them, it feels like I'm rejecting myself. I don't know. What if someone thinks badly of me? I don't know, but I know Roshani said like my costs have increased. It's like, and it's true. It's true. They just don't generate enough revenue. But I know I'm kind of talking all over the place, but it feels scary and like being rejected, even though it's the opposite of that, I think.
I just want to acknowledge great awareness on that. It's rejecting them, but it's also rejecting me, and it just creates a lot of chaos. Okay.
Yes.
All right. With the time, we'll probably have the ability to cover both. What I'm going to do is I'm going to invite both Todd and Mary Ann to join me, and we're going to pin both of them. Do I have that ability, Allison, or do you need to do that?
Let me see. Okay, Mary Ann is pinned and Todd.
Okay. It's not doing that for me. So let me see here. Is that working for everybody else? Can you see both of them? Or
Yes, I can see both of them. You went away. I'm trying to find you now.
I went away. Okay. Yeah, it's perhaps you'd pin. Okay, I need thumbs up or thumbs down from people. Are they pinned? You can just see them? Or no, you see everybody. Okay, I wonder if you just pinned it for yourself, Allison.
Okay.
Spotlight, maybe that's the word we want.
Okay. Let's see.
Hey, Liz, before you throw us to the wolves, what are you doing in pinning us?
Oh, it's just so I can see you. So I'm talking, and
Okay.
thank you for asking the question. It sounds like that made you feel a little vulnerable.
It does because we are building right now and we're living in our RV at the moment while we build our new property. So I took myself off of video.
Okay. Would you be open to coming back on video? And just what do you need from the group to know
Okay.
about that?
Hey, right now I'm living in a toy hauler trailer that's 200 square feet with two giant golden retrievers on the floor. So life is a little topsy-turvy at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think I've got it. So you guys are both spotlighted. Everybody else see that? Okay.
Yeah.
And now my encouragement here with you as you are on this mindset call is one key idea that I think is really supportive. One, this is for Marianne and Todd to know that, yes, they are the ones being coached right now, but also they're giving the gift to each of you to see something that you may not be able to see in yourself. And there's this idea with our subconscious. So we've got our conscious, like the top of the iceberg, and then we've got the bottom of the iceberg, our subconscious. Our subconscious is always projecting and seeing what part is me. So the idea here is if you spot it, you got it. All right. So if you hear something from Marianne or Todd that you're like, oh, they got this thing, take a moment and reflect on yourself because you got it too. And so hopefully that also eases the minds of Marianne and Todd as you're here getting coached, that everybody here in this room is here to get coached themselves. So they're going to be looking for themselves the whole time that you guys are talking with me. All right. So Todd, I didn't hear any of the construction. You're welcome to come off mute for the whole time too. If it gets bad, we'll let you know.
Okay.
All right. So both of you talked about this discomfort with looking at your own practice. And as you think about that, and kind of get present to it, and then not touchy-feely, where are you feeling the most tension right now, physically, for you in your body? You can just speak. Yeah. Okay.
So physically, my left shoulder.
Okay.
And I got a TENS unit over the weekend. And that's really interesting that you'd ask physically, because I can march forward with the things I need to do in my business by creating processes, et cetera. And Laura and Roshani pull the plug. I did it over the last couple of months, and I raised my fees, and I didn't get eaten by the tiger, and I did get pushback from two clients, and one is no longer a client, and that's okay. It was not a good fit anyway. And the other one is still on board. We had a lot of discussions, and it wasn't super fun, but it's done now. So I'm really happy I made that change. So, you know, jump off the cliff. And number two, I think that what I'm going to end up getting out of Limitless is not necessarily just about my practice, but my personal life, because I was floored in one of the forms that you guys sent out. One of the questions was, and how do you feel about your romance life? Well, you know what? Life kind of sucks at the moment personally, because we're in a very uncomfortable place. You know, I can't fix that, but I have my eye on the prize. I know that, you know, in another few months when we move into our new place, it's going to be fabulous. All that's great. But right now it's not a happy place. So I'm juggling something that I was not expecting to be juggling, which is facing my personal life with Limitless. And, but it almost a shiny part of this is that it's making me go, okay, I don't really want to think about my personal life. So I'm going to take the time to really drill in on my business. And it's, you know, some of these steps have been good, and some of them have been a little bit difficult, but as Roshani and Laura know, getting ready to do that fee adjustment is very scary, but it's much better on the other side now.
Okay. And what about you, Todd? Where are you feeling it physically, if there's tension as you think about you being the client, you not having the processes or procedure, or having them, but then also needing to determine what you want?
For me, it's more of just like a literal headache, you know, trying to figure out all this stuff. I'm new to the Limitless game. So, you know, in the last 60 days, while it has been 2 months, and that sounds like a long time, There's a lot of stuff to try to digest and figure out what do you like and what do you not like and what's appropriate for you and what's not. And then you combine that with my parent company, you know, our back office company, which is awesome and I love it. But they're rolling out three or four different new programs and strategies for us to use as well. You know, so you're just kind of swimming in all this information, trying to figure out which one is best and most appropriate. Not only for me as an advisor, but for me as a link between, you know, our technology and what we have access to and our clients. So mm-hmm. it's a lot of figuring out, you know, and, mm-hmm. and as you listen to these calls, again, I can hear the people say, I've been here 3 years and it's awesome and it's great. But, you know, that first day of kindergarten, it's unnerving for you. And you got to just try to figure out what's, you know, what's right for you and the way that you do things.
Mm-hmm. And just reading into what you said and comparing it to kindergarten, there's a way that you feel, or what do you hear in that when I reflect that back? You just compared this to being in kindergarten.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, when you go to kindergarten, you know, everyone has to do it. You know, it's for the greater good. You know, you're going to get a lot out of it. But that first day when mom and dad drop you off, you don't want to let their hand go. And, you know, you're still kind of, you're hesitant and reluctant to go. So you know it's what you need to do. You know it's going to be good in the long term. It's just a little unnerving in the short term.
Mm-hmm. And who is mom and dad in this situation?
I don't, just an analogy.
I know. Let's play with it.
I don't know. I really don't. I guess in this metaphorical case, if I'm the one going to kindergarten, I mean, my wife is probably one of them. And you know, the president of our company is probably another one. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And what's required of you as you let go of their hand?
A lot of trust, a lot of listening. You know, I'm a big believer in two ears, one mouth. Mm-hmm. You know, listen to what other people are saying, listen to what other people works, jotting down lots of notes and then following up after these calls and going back and seeing, hey, you know, what's working? What do I like? What do they like? Mm-hmm. And then even reaching out to a couple, I've reached out to a couple of people one-on-one just to say, hey, can you tell me a little bit more, excuse me, about what you've done, about, you know, how long did it take? What did you see from it? So trying, just not a very, I'm not a very big public person usually. Most of the time I like to do a lot of my thinking behind the scenes mm-hmm. and have a little more intentional meetings.
And if we could play with that idea, what is dangerous about thinking in public?
Nothing. And what's ironic is I do a ton of public speaking and I always ask people to ask questions. But you know, I think just as humans, you're not going to be as open in a public forum as you are in a one-on-one conversation. I think that's just the way most of us are programmed.
Are you open to a different perspective?
Sure. Absolutely.
That perhaps is your experience. And my guess is it could be an opposite experience. It could be a varied experience for other people here. So for you, I hear when you're public speaking and you're speaking your thoughts out loud there, it feels good and confident. And there's a way here, it doesn't have that same confidence or ease. What do you distinguish? Does that land, first of all? I don't have to be right on that.
A little bit. You know, I think in this group right now, I'm still a rookie. So I'm just trying to sit down, shut up, and figure out what works. And so there, believe it or not, I don't really like to talk if I don't have anything important to add to the conversation. So until I figure out how it all works and what does what and who is, you know, who's who kind of in the game and how everyone fits together, I think it's best that I just sit back and relax for the time being. You know, when mm-hmm. I'm the one up on stage, I'm the subject matter expert. So I have plenty to add because that's what I'm, you know, that's what I'm there to do.
I saw you nodding your head, Marianne. What did you hear in that resonated for you?
Todd, because of your military background, I'm wondering if that's, I feel like I experienced something similar in that I know there's rules. I want to follow the rules, and because they're there for a reason and it creates a consistency. And I get into Limitless and there are so many fill out this, fill out that, and they all drill back to a similar theme of get your act together and know what your goals are. And I am struggling a little bit with which of these forms I should really be aggressive about. Like, a lot of us have talked about fees already on several of the calls, and yet we haven't gotten to the fee section of Limitless. And is it wrong of me to be now skipping forward to processes? And do you guys want us to stay consistent with your schedule, or do you want us to run wild? And I'm not really sure, because I'm a kindergartner too. I don't know if I have your permission to be advancing like this.
Aha. So what has you both give me in this moment the power, the authority to make those decisions for you?
I'm paying for it.
Okay. What else?
That's it.
That's it? Just paying for it?
I'm paying for guidance.
I'm more interested in seeing what the end of the rainbow looks like.
What does that mean?
What comes out of all this in X, in X number of months or years or whatever? And clearly you've been on this ride before, and I don't have a clue, what the next turn or twist is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such an interesting dance, and it translates to the work that we do with clients. There's a way of knowing, and there's also a way of complete unknown. Like, my client base did one thing when I raised fees. Marian, your client base did another thing. And we can kind of hint at it, but also each of us have our own experience. And one thing I hear very strongly with both of your approach and expectation in this moment is like, what's the right way? What's the wrong way? Tell me now, because I paid for it.
I'm gonna
sit down and shut up until you do.
No, Liz, it's not even, I mean, with all due respect, it's not even that. It's just a matter of right now, I don't even know what I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to figure out what all of our options are, what all is available. Marianne did it this way. I mean, I'm just looking over here. Bridget did it this way. Chris Waddell does it that way. I mean, there's a million different ways that you can skin the cat.
Right.
I'm just trying to learn from everyone else to figure out, oh, that's the way that resonates the most with me, and that's the way I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm. And where does personal action come into that?
I just want to get a better understanding first, right? It's hard to even say, I'll take action when that thing clicks and goes, oh yeah, this makes sense for you and your clients. Let's try that a couple times and see if it works. Again, I'm in the kind of the wet sponge, just drink it all up stage.
And it feels good.
Yeah. I mean, of course it's overwhelming, but it's a positive change. It's getting there.
Okay. So what's the part of it that doesn't feel good?
Again, the uncertainty and just trying to figure it all out. If, and I'm not saying I am this way, but Liz, if you were to say, here is the 10-step process to get your practice from where it is to where you want it to be, and use this form for 2 weeks and fill it out, use this form for 3 weeks. If it was that cut and dry, no question. Okay, great. And whether you implement all 10 steps or whatever, it wouldn't be a problem. But when it's just this much information, it's just
here's
a ton of things and all of them can work for the right people. It's just a matter of sorting through. And personally, maybe it's just me. I don't feel like my practice is a big mess right now. I mean, I'm coming off my best year ever. I've got a great assistant who is awesome and helps me with anything I need, so I know some things need to be tweaked, but it's not like a massive overhaul. I'm charging what I consider to be fair. My clients are happy. There's not a massive thing that I'm coming into going, man, I got to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you combine kind of that comfort level with all this information, with all of these insanely successful people on here, it just kind of takes a minute to figure out mm-hmm. what it means for you and the way you're doing things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So both of you are waiting for me to give you the ABC process.
No. I said, if that was, then it would be.
Oh, if that was.
I said, if it was just an ABC, no question, everyone knows where they're going. But because this isn't, right? This is mm-hmm. limitless. This is free. This is flowing. This is you get out of it whatever you want to get out of it. Mm-hmm. It's just taking a minute more to go through to see what all the options are that's available, and then use all those worksheets and thought patterns and everything to figure out where it is we're trying to go.
Mm-hmm. For each of you, I'm curious if you can just take a moment here. What personal qualities come forth when you have choice?
Go ahead, Marianne.
Can you reframe that question?
Yeah. Well, actually, Todd, if something came up for you, I'll have you answer it and then see if that helps shine a light, Marianne.
Yeah, okay. It's I'm very, very logical and rational. I don't let a whole lot of emotion come into big decisions like that. Now, again, when you're dealing with clients, there's an emotional piece that does come in, and that's fine. But when someone says, "Hey, here's an idea, are you going to do it? Yes or no?" Internally and very quickly, my mind makes that pro-con list, and I'm running down which one outweighs which one. Is this a good idea for me and mine? And is this going to help? And is it worth it? And all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. So then your brain is on overdrive once you're given choice, because you've got to optimize the whole thing and right. come up with the answer for yourself. What happens for you when you have choice, Marianne?
I feel in a very similar way, and that overdrive is actually, it feels good, because that's when I'm having fun, is when I get to problem solve. So I like that. I like that something comes my way and I have to do my pros and cons list and battle through it. That's what I'm here to do as an advisor.
Mm-hmm.
I have messes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I have it that is what makes an advisor, like the ability to problem solve and optimize and all of that. And there are times where it feels really good. And I have it that overwhelm sets in then, when it's like, well, there's all of these choices. Then you have to optimize all of those things. So what do you want?
I want to be efficient. I want to have created my clarity of what I'm after. I do want to sell my business in 7 years and retire. And when I look at selling my business, I take personal pride in knowing that I'm selling something that's organized, quality, and in alignment with what that next person needs. So I like to problem solve. I just like to know that I'm doing the right thing to set myself up for what's going to happen in 7 years. And why 7 years? Because I'm an old lady and it's time for me to retire in 7 years. So that was a no-brainer.
I don't like that.
Okay, I live at the lake and I'm ready to retire in 7 years. Is that a better answer?
Yeah. I
love my business. I love what I've created in a very short period of time. I had a different business that totally unrelated, and I did it for 30 years. It's my personality to be self-employed. I'm in my happy place like that. But I love this industry. So now I just want to create this perfect little world of imagined financial services and then turn around and be able to sell it and know that I'm selling something of quality.
Mm-hmm. Love that. So you're given a bunch of choice here at Limitless. And I think I've distilled out that these are two separate places that your concerns are coming from, though they kind of surfaced similarly at the top. And so for Marianne, what if there's no wrong way of doing it? What if right and wrong has nothing to do with it?
I'm okay with that. And I'm seeing that. And that's why I'm going ahead and forging forward on steps that are, you haven't introduced yet. Mm-hmm. But I'm also just that personality that I would prefer to get that list of these are the steps. And sure. It hasn't come to me that way. So I'm putting my toe in the tub and going, okay, I'm just going to venture off and do it. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's the emotion that it evokes, which made me put down a 2-ish, leaning toward a 3-ish, is that I wasn't expecting to be emotionally involved in this. I thought this was just going to be check the box and I'd get through and then I'd be better at this at the end of the year. And it's more of a feeling thing. And that's not my comfort zone or my happy place. And so that's what makes me uncomfortable. Oh, I said it out loud.
And as you dipped your toe and you took the action and you did the thing that you didn't think would necessarily come the way that it did, what did you learn about yourself?
I edit myself even more now. I sent an email to Limitless and in the subject line it said frustrated, and immediately I got a barrage of emails back saying, oh my gosh, why are you frustrated? What's going on? Obviously it's not just this minor issue. And it really was kind of a minor issue, and it was the choice of the word frustrated that set off an alarm at Limitless. And so I went back to Grammarly and corrected my response email to let Limitless know that everything's okay. And mm-hmm. I didn't mean it one way, but that further makes me know that I need to edit my mouth and certainly in writing. Because
that's the learning from dipping your toe into uncertainty.
Yeah, I'm not the softest person around. And I sometimes say things that I should probably be thinking through a little bit better.
Are you open to a different perspective on that?
Sure.
People will always have, as someone who is always editing, always monitoring the emotion, the feel, I've had to train myself that even the longer that I edit, the more that effort that I put into it, it still doesn't matter because everybody gets their experience of you. You get everybody to trip the wire. Everybody gets their experience with you. So you come out and you say frustrated, everybody interprets frustrated differently based on their own past experiences. They'll delete, distort the words that you say, and anything can be cleaned up with an inside relationship. Oh, sounds like you guys interpreted it this way. Actually, I'm fine. Just so you know, I'm fine. I just need this. What do you hear in that for yourself?
I get what you're saying. It's, you know, it's like, don't put it in text because everybody interprets it a different way. Pick up the phone and have the conversation and don't be so afraid.
Oh, I actually never said don't put it in text.
No, but that's what I read into it.
So notice that.
Yeah.
Notice that.
Yeah. Understood.
Yeah. And this is a space where you get to just be. You get to be doing really well, Todd, not really finding a lot of places where there's improvement, and soaking in information. And my curiosity there is, where can you allow yourself to stand up and talk versus sit down and shut up and listen? Like, how can you expand that part of your freedom? And yeah. What would that give you in other areas of your life that you're seeking?
I mean, I think we're kind of talking about two different things, at least in my mind. You know, one is a Zoom call with 150 people on it, and one is, you know, my assistant and, you know, my back office and my marketing person and all that. So, you know, again, I'm just trying to sit here and figure out what I need from Limitless. Mm-hmm. And then it's back to the smaller meetings with the people who are a little bit more intimate with my team and my clients and how it works to say, Hey guys, I was on a call and I'm looking at Josh Hargrove. I see your name there, man. So, you know, this worked for Josh Hargrove and his team. What would you think it would work for us and ours? And then we have that conversation. You know, I don't necessarily think that this is the place to have that conversation because most of us here don't know each other. You know, we don't know how we work. We don't know what we like or what we don't like. So again, I'm just trying to absorb it all in right now.
Mm-hmm. I've never participated in the Army or any variation of that. But what struck me is the way that in that area, it is take orders and do the thing.
Right.
And what I'm hearing in you is so much clarity about what it is that you want. And so approaching this program from the same place that you might.
Make no mistake. When I was a kid, I was told to take orders, sit down and shut up.
Sure. Yeah.
And as a kid, sometimes, sorry, my four-legged business partner might come say hi. You know, as a kid, your question, you know, you're taught never to ask and mm-hmm. never to back talk and never ask why. As a professional, I think we always ask why, and we always ask, is that right? Or why are we doing this or whatever? I just think the forums in which you do it are a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. So what's the boldest thing you could just ask that's been on your mind, but you haven't been willing to?
What's the most beneficial thing that anyone on this call has done through this program? Right. And I'm sure if I went through all however many people are on the call, I would get that many different answers. I just think it's interesting to see what, you know, are people bogged down with operational issues? Are people bogged down with charging fees? Are people bogged down with the prospect process? You know, I mean, it's going to be different for everyone. That's why I just like to hear stories.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Thank you for participating in this. I'm going to leave you here so we can switch to the other two. I would love, as we take Marianne and Todd off of Spotlight, for those of you who heard something for yourself that was new, can you put it in the chat? Sorry, I'm trying to find here. Agency of time, super valuable. Raising fees and setting minimums gives you more time. As you have other learnings, you can pop it there. No such thing as multitasking. Interesting. Yeah. All right, I'm going to pin Laura or Spotlight. Laura, and where's Rashani? Rashani, are you still there?
She is still here, Liz.
Sorry.
Oh, there we go. Cool. All right. Popped up. Add to Spotlight. Cool. Very good. Okay, let me see what you guys had said. So increased fees, double, how will it be received? Laura, one extreme to another, knowing you need to surge, knowing that you need to get rid of clients. What I hear in both of these is how you will be perceived or the expectations of other people.
Yes.
What might be true about you? Both, either of you can answer this question. What might be true about you if someone gets upset?
At me? Mm-hmm. I don't really like it.
Okay, how come?
I wrote down here, like, I like people to think highly of me. I like to be liked. I think that's part of who I am. I don't like it if they would think poorly of me.
What kind of person would you be if they didn't like you?
Well, if I liked them and they didn't like me, maybe bitchy, a bitch, not a nice person,
mm-hmm.
not a good person.
What happens to bitchy people?
Nothing really, like, I don't know. I think if you go like deeper, I think it's like, I'm scared I'll be alone if I go down.
Great awareness on that. And what's hard about being alone for you?
I'm in my therapy session here, Liz. I don't actually know, because I like being by myself, but I think if I go to my deepest fear, and, you know, it's like, I just don't want to be alone. Like, I want people to think well of me and know that there's people around me that love me. And
mm-hmm.
It's scary to be thought of alone. How will I fight off the saber-toothed tigers if I'm by myself?
Mm-hmm. What about you, Roshani? What do you fear might happen if somebody reacts poorly to you raising your fees?
Yeah, I think I will feel like I am failing. My business is failing. You know, I should be going in this direction. I'm going in this direction. And that's the first thought that comes to my mind, is I'm not going the right direction.
Mm. And what kind of person has a business fail?
Somebody who's not capable of having a business, or somebody who's not capable in their field.
Mm-hmm. And when you see someone who's incapable in their field, what do you see happen to them?
They just see more and bigger failures, and everybody is like, wow, you're such a failure. You know, everybody starts looking down on them.
And then what happens?
And then just the person shrinks.
Mm.
Yeah. It's like, you know, getting fired by someone, right? Like getting fired again and again. You know, it's like you're just like you're, it's not like all your biggest fears are actually out. It's all realized, you know, it's out in the open kind of a thing. All your nightmares are becoming a reality.
Yeah. And what's hard for you about shrinking?
What's hard? It's just, you know, it's like, that shouldn't happen to me. You know, I feel like there's so much, and not to sound arrogant or anything, but I feel like there's so much that I'm capable of, that if I don't, you know, just by my actions or inactions, if they do not become a reality, it's my personal failure towards myself, because I have so many gifts that I have been given by nature. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you hear in each other's shares? Anything for yourself?
I think that we're a little bit hard on ourselves and judging ourselves too much. Like Roshani said, she has gifts and attributes and strengths, and it's like, well, taking risks is like what successful people do, and I'm sure you're very successful. And so I don't know why that it sounded to me like she was kind of hard on herself. So I'm imagining that that sounds like what I'm too.
Yeah, I felt like when I heard Laura say, you know, if they get upset and they leave, you know, I'm going to be alone. I thought that was a lot of projecting, which is something that I think we all do, you know, myself included. Yeah.
And take that the next step. So she's doing a lot of projecting. Therefore, what? What's the truth? What's the hitch? What else is there?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of those stories keep repeating in our heads. You know, we have a story and we just use these scenarios to as evidence of that those stories being true. You know, like, I mean, I'm just taking this as an example. I don't know how, you know, if this is the truth or not, Laura, but, you know, this might be like, well, people leave me. People, once they get to know me, they leave. You know, that kind of a story, or it could be the values again, you know, I'm not good enough. This is like some kind of a mask I have, and people will see the person behind who's not really that great. And, you know, once they see that, then they cannot unsee that. And, you know, that'll just lead to a spiral down. Yeah. So yeah, it's all of those stories that we keep repeating in our heads.
How did that land, Laura?
Well, part of me thinks that's true, and part of me thinks, oh, this is so ridiculous. I can't believe I think this. Which again, I guess, is judging myself.
Yeah, it's like two levels of judgment.
Yes, exactly. And there is a part of me that would actually be excited to, I think it's called right size your client base. But maybe for me, I just need to do it in baby steps, like just. Like, I don't know, five clients at a time rather than ripping the whole Band-Aid off just to see how it goes.
Yeah. There's different ways of approaching it, of course. Some people do just want to rip the Band-Aid off and see what happens. And also there's giving yourself the space. There's logic, too, in giving this space and doing it in tranches, too. So... if this has nothing to do with being alone, Laura, and if this has nothing to do with failure, Roshani, what's your highest commitment?
Well, my highest commitment would be to my family, and I want to have a successful business that, you know, supports all of us. And, you know, makes money so we can do all the activities and things that we want, and runs a successful, efficient practice. So it's great for the clients, you know, great for my staff, like everybody prospers and there's abundance. So that is what I'm committed to.
And when you come from that place of everyone prospers and there's abundance, what do you see?
Well, then it actually seems like an easy decision. It's like, okay, having this section of smaller clients that doesn't even cover our basic costs doesn't support that. And it's like, I guess it kind of shifts me from feeling emotional about it to be more logical and rational. And then it's like, okay, it's like an easy decision, Laura. I'm still a little bit scared about how to do it, but I think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah. So what's your action from there?
Think about how to do it. And, you know, maybe like look on Tribe or see if there's suggestions people have about like how you word it and tell clients you're moving on or in a nice way that it's not the right fit anymore. I'm sure there's a nice way to do it. I just don't know how. So try to look for that. Maybe people on this call will share with me some ideas on that. Because if I had a way to do it or ideas of the nice way to do it, then that would make me feel a lot better about it. I guess maybe that's what's scary too. Is like, I don't really know how to do it. I want to do it eloquently.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, what makes it harder is that like, when I talk to this group, you know, this, I mean, you know, Liz and, you know, Steph and all of these people, right? Like you guys, you know, make me think like, okay, I have to take big, bold risks and I have to, you know, whatever I think, I have to take those big steps. But when I talk to other people in my life, we're also running a successful business and, you know, who I think are very experienced too. When I talk to them and when I talk about doubling fees, they're like, oh, better be careful, you know? Like you better have a really good reason, really good story for why you're raising your fees, because you know people will say, oh, she's doubling her fees. Oh my gosh, like you know they'll start rethinking about your services. So it's that like when I come out of these calls, I'm like, yes, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do all of these things. And then when I talk to other people in my life, you know, other these mentors and stuff, it's that kind of a thing. And it's like, who do I listen to sometimes, you know? And I think like I've done my best when I have taken big, bold risks and I haven't like bent over to anybody else's demands. That's when I have succeeded the most. So there is that evidence. But at the same time, I'm also like, these people are so seasoned. They have so much experience. Like, am I really going to completely discount their advice as well and just go with mine? And you know, what is the consequence of doing that? Like, what if I lose this one client, you know, who's been one of my best clients, and I'm thinking of not just increasing the fees, I'm thinking of doubling the fees on them. And I know they can afford it, you know, but still, like, just the idea of doubling, right? Anything doubling is just like a big thing. So it's that kind of a thing for me.
Yeah, I have it just with the number of times you've used the word double.
Yes.
That's a hook for you. And how many things do we pay for that have doubled in cost? Lots of things.
Everything.
But for some reason that feels extra heavy for you. So I just wanted to reflect that as a point of awareness. What's the risk in listening to yourself as you take in the information from mentors and Limitless?
What's the risk in listening to myself? If I'm wrong, that's the risk.
And what if it has nothing to do with right, wrong?
What if it has nothing to do with right or wrong? Maybe it's not trusting myself, you know, it's probably what it is. Like if it has nothing to do with right or wrong, then it is a matter of trust.
How do you want to remember that?
How do I want to remember that?
Mm-hmm.
What?
It's a matter of trust. Like, how do you want to integrate that into that next moment where you're saying the thing and someone's like, I don't know if you should do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be Limitless saying, I don't know if you should do that. Mm-hmm. But you have the idea externally from a different source. Mm-hmm. How do you want to remember and come back to trust?
Trust yourself kind of a thing. I think the five step thing you guys had talked about, right? The catch and correct.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using that. So I think that's a good way to think about it. Like because every time you face that kind of a confusion, there is something happening in your mind. It's not like, you know, smooth sailing. There is some kind of a confusion going on. So I think that's a good moment to be like, okay, what's happening? Why am I thinking like this? You know, why do I really need somebody to say yes? Yes, that's the right thing. You know, why can't I just say, you know, I'm going to trust myself and do what I think is right, as opposed to asking other people for their approval.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. just an idea for both of you as you think about these two concepts. For Laura, everyone prospers, there's abundance. For Roshani, trust myself. Finding a visual way to capture that as well and put it in your space, whether that's sticky note, if you want to be just really simple and effective with it, or if you want to put that in some other creative way of being in your space or on your body, or, you know, tattoos. Just kidding. I mean, you can, but
yes.
Finding ways just to ground yourself in that knowledge. Because notice how what you said, Roshani, was when I get into that space where I'm like, wait, is this what I'm supposed to do? Is it right, wrong? There's a spinning that happens. And even Todd was referencing that spinning, that feeling. He referenced it as overwhelm. There's a lack of clarity. And for sometimes, just coming back to our knowing of like, I'm trusting myself in this, I'm making this decision. Perhaps some of it is, this is okay. This is me just taking in a bunch of information. This is me discovering what I want. And that's me asserting now, Todd, if you're still on the line, a place where just cutting through the overwhelm and getting to like, this is fine. This is okay. This feels uncertain because there's just a bunch of information that I'm getting, but I'm exploring, I'm discovering, and I'll know when I get to the thing that I want. Just notice how the isness of that feels differently than getting caught in the emotion, Laura.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, definitely.
Was that helpful?
Mm-hmm. Very. Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Great. All right. So for those listening, what learning for yourself did you have in that moment as we were talking with Roshani and Laura? I'm checking through the messages. Okay. You're welcome to pop those there. And if there's somebody who wants to be, we still have time here. Somebody wants to just be coached one-to-one, happy to entertain that right now. Where's a place that you feel stuck? It can be personal, professional, it can be anywhere of life. What would give you the most momentum if you solved this thing? And if you're that person sitting there thinking, maybe me, I don't know, what has you not just reach out and grab it? What has you wait? These are all areas of reflection of your mindset. Do you not want to take up the spotlight? I don't want to take it from other people. Is it, I don't want to look dumb? Take what you want. Get what you want. Who's up? You'll find I'm very comfortable with silence. And I have it that there is someone here that is just right on the edge of getting supported. Now's your time.
I'll jump in, Liz.
Who's speaking?
This is Bridget Forel. Hi. I'll just say several years ago, I was going through a divorce and my mom died in the same year. And that prompted a lot of personal work I've done with myself. So I actually find the mindset piece here. I don't know if easy is the right word, but I've done a lot of the work already. So a lot of it's kind of like reminders for me, but where I'm going to be the one feeling super vulnerable, because I just started my own firm in November. You know, getting into the model practice and all of the business metrics is where I'm like, what? You know, I'm super grateful for those who stepped up and shared, because I'm sure that was not easy or comfortable. So thank you. But I think, you know, I'm trying to apply the mindset lessons to the places where I am kind of having that. And I, you know, definitely at the beginning, there was that feeling of overwhelm of like, oh my gosh, there's so much, I don't know where to start. And just taking a step back and being like, okay, let's take one piece and let's go. So just wanted to throw that in there and say thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to look at the model practice business metrics piece as part of your mindset?
We can. Sure.
What's the outcome you'd like from having this conversation?
Let's see. Maybe, and this is probably along the lines of what Todd and Marianne were talking about, is feeling like I want some kind of certainty of like, okay, like where am I even starting? Like thinking about how big do I want to be? I feel like I'm kind of throwing darts at a wall in trying to answer that. You know, I have some ideas. I don't know how correct they are.
Correct for whom?
For me, or if it's realistic, given that I'm just starting, and you know, I'm not starting from zero. I brought clients with me. But yeah, so maybe that feeling of not even certainty, but wanting to know if I'm like in range, if that makes sense.
Quick story. Not a Swiftie, but recently have been caught in the Taylor Swift rabbit hole. Learned that she at age 11 took little CDs, recordings of herself singing karaoke to country music recording studios just to try to get a deal. So my son, he's 9, he's got all these big ambitions, and he wrote down a goal that he has, which is to make $1 million by age 12. I bring those two things in because what's correct, what's realistic, what's in range, I have no idea. If I would have imposed that, my feeling of like, no way, on Taylor Swift, if I was her mother, squashed. Like, you would not see the billionaire today. So what do you want, Bridget?
Yeah, I'm hearing you say it and say that, and I'm thinking, when you said, if you spot it, you got it. Where, you know, I said in the chat earlier, that just pick something and go. And I think that's kind of what I need to do to a certain extent with the model practice metrics, and not be so hard on myself and just work on taking action in those directions. What I want is to not, and this is something I've struggled with in the past, I want to not be stuck or paralyzed out of some fear of whatever, you know, imposter syndrome, feeling unworthy, feeling like I'm not experienced enough, etc. Like, I know I can do this. There's a large part of me is like, I can do this and I can have a killer firm. I just have to execute. And I want my whatever self-limitations I've had in the past to not get in my way. That's what I want, to not get in my own way.
Yeah. What part of you feels paralyzed with your model practice and business metrics? And when I say what part of you, I actually mean physically. Like, where does paralyzed sit?
I would say my upper back.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like shoulders tensing up, maybe.
Okay. How aware are you when that feeling comes in to play?
Fairly aware now, because it's something I've worked on for a while. But I think in the past, I wasn't aware of it until it was like that kind of spinning feeling you referenced.
Mm. So it accompanies that?
Mm-hmm. But like that's a more exaggerated form.
So it starts, if I'm understanding correctly, it starts in your shoulder back area, very tense, mm-hmm. and then gets to the spinning overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you want to do to remind yourself to pick something, because you're going to have a killer firm and all you need to do is execute?
Well, I like the like post-its and signs, and I've done some of those. I haven't specifically done them with the metrics, so I could do that. And I shared in the Good Vibes Tribe a message my daughter had sent me. I'm gonna get a little emotional. But I think like looking at that every day, like, you know, making a reminder on my phone or something to look at it at noon, would be helpful.
What's the emotion?
Whoo! So my daughter's 21, and, you know, and I have two boys, so I want all of my kids to succeed and do well and like reach their potential. But, I think as a woman, like having been told as a child, like you have certain career limitations placed on you because you should be able to follow a husband around, that sort of thing. And then living that as a Navy wife for a while, and, you know, kind of putting it on myself, that self-limitation, I just want to make sure that I model for her that she can do whatever the heck she wants to do. And she just has to go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the quality that's embodied in that? Like, you can choose whatever you want. Just go for it.
Kind of like we were talking earlier about trusting ourselves.
Mm. Love that. So that's another area that you can capture that learning. Notice that emotion that came out pointed you right back to trust yourself. And so that's the big learning for you there.
Mm-hmm.
Helpful?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Great. If anybody has some learnings that they want to share in the tribe or in the chat, go for it. And we have 13 luxurious minutes remaining. And I would love to coach whomever would like to get supported.
Liz, I'll chime in. Dawn Gordon from Las Vegas.
Cool. Hi, Dawn.
Hi. So similar to Bridget, I've done a lot of personal development over the years. I have a mature practice, and the model practice is a little bit of a challenge, because I feel like I want to wind down and my mind is in conflict with, I'm at the peak of my career. I have great skills and talents that I've spent years building. Financially, I don't have to work. I love what I do. I love the value that I provide my clients. I'm not, because that's what all I want to do in a day. There's an underneath, there's some entitlement that I have that I shouldn't have to do other things, but just lead my clients. And I don't seem to be able to attract the right who's. And then I just want to have fun, right? I mean, I'm a rainmaker. I'm a leader to my clients, and the rest of the stuff is difficult for me. I don't have a lot of patience for training, which I want to hire team members that are already experienced that could read my mind. You know, that program. Where's that program? And then at the same time, in the background, my Lincoln Financial Securities, my broker dealer, has been sold to another broker dealer. And there's a lot of things going on with that. And a key employee who's also my boyfriend is leaving and breaking up with me. And so there's a lot of like opportunity, but also there's that rumbling of fear, but I already know I can do this because I've been doing it for a long time. So there's a little bit of overwhelm, but then I go back to what I know, which is serving my clients, and then my day is great. But then there's the reality, when am I going to get off my own hamster wheel? So Liz, I know I gave you a lot, and I've listened to you, so I know that you follow very well.
Yeah. What do you think would give you the biggest shift today to look at amongst those items?
Some level of a balance between the self-care of the grief that I'm going through. I mean, there's a lot of change happening at the same time with the loss of what I've known, not only in my day-to-day with the business, with the broker-dealer change, because there's a lot going on there. I've been with the same broker-dealer for 27 years. I didn't initiate the change. They did, rightly so. It'll be a great thing no matter what, but there'll be some short-term pain. And then the change with my key employee and significant other leaving, all of that has a lot of emotion around it. So the most impactful would be how to stay on track, but I'm not sure which track.
Was the, if you don't mind me asking, and you don't have to respond either, was the significant other key employee leaving at your decision or at their decision?
Okay. So
essentially three major decisions without your consent. Correct. Initiation.
Correct. And that the key employee doesn't care for how I execute my business. And so there's been a rub for a little while. Good, bad, or indifferent. That's just the way that they don't care how I make business decisions. And I'm very successful. But their style is different than mine. And we do different roles. I'm the Rainmaker Financial Advisor and their operations and service. So Correct. I didn't ask for any of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to have fun and do my job all day. I mean, I mm-hmm. think I'm normal.
Yeah. Are you feeling anger?
Disappointed and okay. Disappointed. I know that's not really a feeling, but
it is a feeling.
Okay. Sad that I mean on the business side, losing a key employee, there's there's fear, right? Because I have been interdependent on a key employee for a while, and we've grown together. The position has been developed over time. I didn't have this position when he started, and now I do. I have this full time. I'm highly dependent. The business is highly dependent on that role. So there's a little bit of fear of how am I going to be supported while I do my job at the level that I want to execute, which is providing that leadership seamlessly, you know, front stage,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have it. Just my experience of this interaction is the way that you are very thoughtful in the way that you think about things that are happening to you. And I see disappointment as like a holding tank that's really uncomfortable. And inside, tucked in with disappointment, are some of these other fears or other feelings like sadness and fear.
Yes.
I'm curious, how come not pissed off? How come not angry that your BD just basically upset the apple cart for you? You know,
I'm actually very happy about
okay,
the
BD. Cool.
I think it's
that one doesn't feel
I think
as bad.
It's so exciting, and I think there's opportunity, but there will be change. There'll be bumps in the road. I mean, longer than 27 years in the business, so that I'm not concerned about. That will ultimately be amazing, no matter which way.
Okay, so you're really connected to the possibility of that.
Absolutely. I'm excited with everything that I have been exposed to so far. No matter what direction, there will be change, and I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. So, disappointed, sadness, fear, how come not pissed off, angry at key employee?
I guess because it's not the first time the employee has tried to take themselves away. And so there's been some training for that.
Okay.
Lack of a better word. This sadness is that I guess I'm losing someone that I really cared about, and the instability is scary a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I already feel overwhelmed, right? I already feel in my day-to-day job. And then the broker-dealer thing added another layer of complexity. And then this is like, how am I going to do it all, you know, and who can help me? And I do have two other team members, so I'm not completely alone, but they're not at the skill level or knowledge level or support level that the other person is. And so that's what makes me get tears in my eyes. Like, how am I going to do it all?
Hmm. Yeah, that's heavy. One, in service of that feeling, that's a hard place to be in. And when we resist an emotion, it persists. So how can you create spaciousness for yourself to feel all the feelings. And we keep saying the key employee and recognizing that it's your significant other. It's your boyfriend also. Yeah.
Yes.
And so that's so multifaceted and layered.
Yes.
How do you want to create space for yourself to feel through all of that?
I don't know, because my go-to, probably like a lot of people, is to be in service. So I don't feel it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a winning formula just to get back to what I know, and that makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. I don't want to wallow. I want to be in action.
Mm-hmm. And if I may reflect, what I'm hearing in that is there's a bit of willpower, like, okay, this is hard. I'm going to will myself over it and get back into action. And I feel really good there. I know that's a good, safe place. It comes with a cost. What's the cost for you?
Well, it's a level of anxiety and stress on my body.
Mm-hmm. And what's predictable for it to come out as it's showing anxiety and stress on your body?
Tiredness. Kind of the opposite of who I am. It dims my brightness. I'm not in my intuition and able to hear, and so it covers me over of who I really am. It makes me less vivacious, I guess.
Yeah, I'm very present to your vivaciousness. The Pardon? Vibrancy, but I'm very present to your vibrancy, your vivaciousness. I can see hints of it coming out.
Yeah.
And what if you access that through feeling the feelings and setting it?
I don't understand the question.
So instead of willpower going over it and experiencing the tiredness, the dimming of the brightness, not in your intuition, what if there is discovery that you can find that vivaciousness while going through the sadness and the fear instead of overriding it?
They seem like two totally different things. They do not seem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't answer the question.
Oh, that's fine. And also, for just play with that idea. Like, what is the possibility, or where have I seen it work for me or someone else? Is this possible as to not have to deal with the anxiety and stress on my body?
So ask me the question again.
Yeah, it was worded. It was muddled. So how can I shorten it? How can you access your vivaciousness? I guess that's the shortest way of asking it.
Well, I think you were asking me, really, how do I sink into the yucky feelings,
mm-hmm.
and not override them?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm writing it because I don't know that I have an answer for you now. This would be a reflection.
Fantastic.
I do have one strategy, which is putting Metallica's Black Album on and picking the shit out of it.
Yeah.
That does work. I know that one.
Music and it's so beautiful.
If you don't know the Black Album, try it. It works.
I love it. Yeah, because emotion, just all it needs is to be felt, and it lasts, I think Stephanie says, like 90 seconds, really, when you're fully in it. Except when we persist, when we avoid it, then it lingers and it creates all this havoc in our body.
Mm-hmm.
So was this helpful for you?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad I took the risk. It was difficult to do that, but I want to grow.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for being willing to put yourself out there. Really, I know that other people, whether or not they can express it to you, appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, that's a wrap on our first peak performance call. Really great to spend time with you today. You can always find me on Tribe. So if you want to put out there what it is that you're processing, I'm happy to coach you there until I see you again on the third Monday next month. All right, take care.